in Lviv in Ukraine. It is 3:20 in the afternoon, and earlier today things were not very calm. I hope they are now. Let's go to Joseph Lindsley in Lviv. Hi, Joseph.
Hey, Bob. Good morning and good afternoon to you all. Yes, we had, after last week, we had the last week began with the May 10th Soviet military holiday, and there'd been such fear that something was going to happen on that day. But we had a very calm and peaceful week here in the west of Ukraine. There were no air raid alerts. I think it was the longest period without alerts since the war began. And then in the early hours between 4 and 5 a.m. on Sunday morning, we had an alarm and we began to hear some explosions. In fact, my building shook, and I have not felt that since the beginning of the war, even though by all accounts, and it's still difficult to get the exact details, but we were told by the Lviv regional government that the Yavoriv military base that's halfway between Lviv and Poland was struck. That is a place where NATO before the war for 8 years, since 2014, was training Ukrainians. And it's also been the place where foreign fighters have been coming into for the intake process when they arrived to Ukraine to help. Some reports said that some of the structure was totally destroyed. We really still have very few details. We heard about, I think it was 7 explosions that we heard, and with 2 of them, the ground and the buildings shook in the center of Lviv.
So this all happened Sunday, and when that was going on, Joseph, what are you busy doing? How are you taking cover and preparing?
Well, I was. Most people were in shelters, I think, because it was, there had been a fear that something like this was approaching, and the concerns of chemical warfare and some overreaction from Russia are increasing as it seems that maybe Russia might be getting more desperate. I was actually outside, maybe not the smartest thing, but as a reporter and with the superintendent and the housekeeper of our building, we were outside to watch the sky, and we saw nothing. We saw no smoke, and because it was strange because the noises were louder than they'd have ever been, but it was further away, which also was cause for concern. So we were outside watching and listening until about 6:30 in the morning when the all clear alarm sounded.
And I know you've talked about this before, and I find it fascinating that, for example, you're bringing helmets and bulletproof vests to your news bunker over the weekend. And at the same time, life goes on in the streets of Lviv. Tell us about
that.
Yeah.
And we had a moment that really highlighted that for me on Saturday with a member of our team. We'd gone to a warehouse outside of the city where a nonprofit from Washington, D.C. had sent used bulletproof vests and helmets from police departments all over America, which was great to see the different names of the police departments from east to west coast of the U.S. And we were bringing those items into our news bunker, from which we will distribute them once we get enough fuel later this week to the rest of the country. And as I'm down, we shared this place with some other organizations, and I'm walking into our storage room, and there was a tango class going on. And they paused and they watched, with some sense of respect, they watched the camouflage material proceed past their dancing. And there we see that everyone here is finding a new way to live. And, people have to make money, people have to live and find some reasons to keep going. And we have times like last week in Lviv where there was a week of seeming peace. And so we still have, this is still the fortress and the supply center for Ukraine. There's a great need at the front. The Russians are stepping, they're concentrating their efforts in the east. And so there's a great need to get these supplies there. But that moment of hearing the tango music, which before the war was very common to see in the streets of Lviv, but seeing that in our news bunker, it was encouraging, but all there's a sadness to it as well, that this is a new life for Ukraine, and how long will this continue?
Sure. I hope the Chicago Police Department sends you some helmets as well. And there is good news. It sounds like good news. Mitch McConnell, speaking during his unannounced visit to Kyiv, said the Congress will pass that $40 billion aid package for Ukraine on Wednesday. And that is something that all of you are hoping for, isn't it, Joseph?
It is, but it's also something that I think here's where, and it's a big reporting challenge for us, is to see where that money goes. And this is the challenge for the next weeks. And I've heard some criticism, for example, Senator Rand Paul you know, is delaying that package. And my instinct was to sort of oppose what he was saying, but you know, it might be good to pay attention to how the money is spent. For example, we've heard about $8 billion in humanitarian aid that already came, you know, already was earmarked for Ukraine. And yet, you know, every single day we hear of needs of shelters or units that need basic supplies. So this is, I think, for the next weeks and months, one of our main reporting missions here is to really examine how this money is spent and where it's going. And some of that $40 billion is a valuation. It's the cost of the equipment that is being donated. And so there's a lot of things to look at. But on the face of it, of course, it sounds extremely encouraging.
As always, your perspective on the news is very interesting. And I'm just looking at another text. And Joseph, the people here in the Midwest, as this person says, I look forward to Joseph's reports every morning. Everybody says the same thing. We really appreciate it.
Well, it's great to have the chance to speak with you all about the reality here. And again, I think if we didn't have this chance to share, you know, as we see it here in the ground, this would drift into, you know, the world would just seem like a very distant conflict, as we remember from so many times in history. Mm-hmm. And this is, you know, and I even see there are some people and sort of American commentators say, oh, it can't be that serious if you have Bono, you know, going to play in the subway station. But to really, you know, to just share the reality of how real this is and how important it is to have, you know, that the world, the instinct of the world is to side with the free people of Ukraine, which really is a remarkable thing. And, you know, and as humanity tries to develop, you know, in the story of what it means to be free, which I think in many ways began in 1776 in America, this is all connected to that story.
Well said. Let's end on an upbeat note. Ukraine won the Eurovision Song Contest. And that's the song we played here a bit of last week. Right, Joseph?
It is. Perhaps you helped the victory. And that song, I think the past 8 years, you know, Ukraine has been in a small war with Russia, and it led to a time of creativity. I think being a country at war makes you more creative. You realize your time is limited. And so I think Ukraine has won Eurovision. I think this is the third time in the past 15 or so years. It's not unusual in that respect, but the support was like nothing else this time. And it's a song about, you know, really about longing for home. And I hope it seems like it did resonate with the world.
Yeah, here are a few seconds of it. If you don't understand the words, the feeling comes through. Joseph Lindsley in Lviv, thank you. We will talk tomorrow morning. Stay safe.
Thank you, Bob.